Hallelujah. So, second Sunday of Advent, the coming of the Lord. So good. Last week we talked about hope. And Pastor Sam talked about prophets. Prophets are one of the focal points of the Advent season, because the prophets foretold of Jesus' coming hundreds of years in advance. And it's so wonderful that they do that. This week we talk about love and angels. Yay, angels. We get a chance to do that. We talked about angels when we went over the Revelation series. Angel of the church of whatever, you know, there were seven of them, Pergamum, Laodicea, all of them. There was an angel there. And some people think that the angel is a pastor, refers to pastor, and some people think it's actually an angel. I think it's an angel. But I know that there's a man here who is a pastor that I think is an angel too. John Clark is with us. He was the guy that sent us out from the other church. Yeah, give him a Cloverdale welcome. Just John, bless you. He's just kind of wandering around. I didn't know he was going to be here. He is a very good preacher. I mean, world class, and he could have done a better job of this any day. So, if I'd I think beauty's in the eye of the beholder. I can enjoy a piece of art that you may not enjoy, John. So I'm enjoying God's art in you. Say hello to him. Wonderful man. Just a joy to have him here. Okay, I'm going to be reading out of Luke 2 for this Advent Sunday. Love and angels. This is where the angels come and talk to the shepherds. Angels had come already and talked to Mary, told Mary that she was going to have a baby. Mary got all excited about that and gave a profound theological response. We won't go into that today, but and then the angel came and talked to Joseph, for which Mary was very grateful. Told Joseph that the baby was of God. So Mary didn't have to explain herself. That's a good thing. You know, God covers us so many ways. And now the angels are coming and talking to the shepherds, and we're gonna pick that up. But we've got to watch what we think of angels here, just before we read. We tend to pick up and run with ideas that aren't biblical at all. And superimpose them on our culture, our church culture. And angels is one of those things. You see those pictures of little cherubs and with wings, and you know, the angel on top of the tree, and they're just cute, and most of them are female, and you know, that isn't biblical. The angels were fearsome. One angel in 2 Kings took out 185,000 warriors in a day. One angel. That's not a little cherub with a little bow and arrow. The most common response of people to angels biblically is to fall down on the ground and pray that you don't get killed. And the angels' first words usually are, "Fear not." because they are fearsome. There are angels that minister to people. There are angels that minister to churches. There are even angels that minister to nature. In Revelation 16, verse 5, says there is an angel. An angel in charge of the waters. Aren't you glad for that, John? John's a sailor. Probably met that angel a few times. Angels are God's messengers. They're God's helpers. They're meant to be God's helpers. And my understanding, now this is my understanding of what happens, so don't write it in the side of your Bible, is that God has given them tasks, and when they hear those tasks from the saints, when they hear the words that they're waiting for from the saints in prayer or in declaration, they respond to those things and go out to accomplish those things. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that we get to order them around. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that we can dispatch angels ourselves by our command. We can only do it in conjoining with what God has already spoken. Yeah. And so there's a popular teaching out there that you need to command the angels to do these things, to do whatever it needs to be done. Go get some finances for the church. We don't have that authority. This is our year of authority. God gave us that word at the beginning of the year. And that authority hasn't been vested to us. They respond to God's word. And so they accomplish all of those things that God has set out for them to do. And so we need to move carefully when we're dealing with angels. Right? They're fearsome and amazing. There's two sets of creatures that the Bible sets out as angels. There are seraphim and cherubim. The Jewish Tanakh says that there are actually 9 levels of angels, but the ones that we can see clearly are seraphim and cherubim. And seraphim are six-winged beings. They fly with two. They cover their eyes, I guess, when they're in the presence of Almighty God, because He is too much to look upon. And they cover their feet with two. Amazing creatures made by God. Cherubim, and they fly over the throne of God. You know, they maybe it's like Washington, D.C., you know, a no-fly zone. You know, no planes can fly over the capital of the United States. The cherubim are four-winged. And they minister to God day and night with the holy, holy, holy refrain that we see in the Word. They see Him, they see His being, who He is, and all they can do is cry, holy, holy, holy. Do you think they get tired of that? I don't. I don't. We don't know what we're dealing with. Rob Matza, who was here at Super School this last week, he has an infamous saying amongst the friends he has here, and it said, God is much bigger than previously thought. He's much bigger and much more amazing. And those that are close to Him worship Him all the time. Those that know Him through being around Him worship Him all the time. And yet those that he loves, us, we can fit in an hour on Sundays and we may be late for the worship part. There's an imbalance in there somewhere. The angels are amazing creatures. We have this idea of them as gentle creatures, or some people in their grief, when they lose someone dear to them, they say, well, God has another angel. No, that simply isn't true. God made the angels, and he made mankind. Mankind will one day judge the angels. We are, believe it or not, on a higher plane than the angels. If there's hierarchy, there probably is. We will judge them, and we're learning to do that right here and right now, by what God is giving us to do and working in our discernment of spirits. How do we do that? Angels are amazing. But angels are a focus at Christmas time, because the angels came and spoke to Mary, spoke to Joseph, and spoke to the shepherds, telling them what was coming, telling them that this is the time, talking to them about Jesus, their favorite subject. Thank you. Jesus was coming, and God let the angels know that. He let the shepherds know that. Shepherds, I don't know why God does the things he does. It's amazing. Everybody has ideas about it, but let's read the word right now. Go to Luke 2 and verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Hallelujah. The heavenly host. Host is an army. An army from heaven appeared to the shepherds. Wow. And they cried out, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." God, in his wonder, has this babe born in a city of no renown to parents that weren't extra special in worldly ways, in a manger. The first king-size bed was a little straw-filled manger. In with the animals. He had him have to move very shortly after he was born down to Egypt run for their lives. And he goes to the shepherds with the prophecy. Shepherds who were seen as despicable beings. They weren't allowed to testify in court because they were known as liars and thieves and cheats. That's just who shepherds were. But God, in his wisdom, sends the angel to them and gives them this good news.
Praise the Lord.
He sees something in the human race that he is so in love with and so willing to give his all for. A.W. Tozer said, God in his wisdom became a man, was born to a woman, was crucified, died, and buried, and rose again so that he could make worshipers out of rebels.
Wow.
Worshipers out of rebels. And there's something about that in all of our hearts, to rebel. We all want to just kind of move our own way and decide what's right for our lives. God says what's right. We can see it. We have an objective test to what is right for our thoughts and our lives and our processes, and yet we still want to rebel a little bit. But God in his wisdom did all of that to turn us to worshipers. It's about worshiping him. And as we get closer to him, as we walk with him, we want to do that more and more and more. We want to be with him and honor him and love him and put all of the stuff of ourselves aside. All of our intelligence, all of our abilities, so that we can worship him. He's amazing. These guys worshiped God in three ways. They worshiped because of who he is. Glory to God, they said. Glory to God. There's an assumption there that yes, he exists, is real, and is worthy of worship. Who he is. He's an amazing, amazing being. God. Glory to God. Bless his name because of who he is. Before they get to what he's done or what he will do, they just worship him for who he is. Glory to you, Lord. No questions. No doubts, just moving into that wonderful worship time. They worship him too for because of what he had done. Peace on earth among men. Behold, today a child is born to you. Who is that child? The Prince of Peace. What he left us, among many other things, was a peace that the world wouldn't understand. Beyond anything that we could imagine. Not a physical lack of war peace, but an internal peace where the enemy is trying to bring fear and confusion into the midst of mankind. God came as the Prince of Peace. He had done this thing so that mankind could get along, get past their rebel selves, and be with him. And he made a way for us to be at peace with him. For we were sinners before Jesus paid the price for us. There was a divide between us. We could not come into his presence. We could not approach him. We couldn't even entertain a thought of being near him because there was no peace between us. But Jesus became the intercessor, the one that stands between, the goes-between. And he's forever our intercessor. The way the word puts it, he's not praying that. He is actually a go-between. There is this physical presence of Jesus between God and man so that God would not have to deal with the sin issue ever again. Sin's been dealt with because God made peace with man. But that's all atonement stuff, and we'll talk to you about that on Easter. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Peace on earth is bigger than what we're reading there. It is a massive accomplishment. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, brought peace to us. And now we can go directly to him. Me, the rebel, can go before God into his presence. He invites me into his presence. Says I can come boldly into the presence. Because of the Prince of Peace. I can now go directly to him. Not because I'm a priest. Not because of the way I live. But because of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. An amazing accomplishment. The enmity, the animosity, the shame, the fear, the guilt that was all in existence before Jesus has been done away with. I get to go to Jesus. That's worth worshiping God for.
Yes, amen.
We might not feel like worshiping him this week because, well, my tire went flat, so I know it was because God is mad at me. Somebody stole my bike, so he's getting back at me for something. He's not. He doesn't do that. He's good all the time. That's man living with man stuff and just the natural order of things happening. He is looking at us and smiling because he is at peace. It's up to us to join him in that peace because it's been made available to us. He has an incredible bank account filled with peace that we need to access so that we get to know him and be in his presence. It's an amazing thing because in this day, fear is getting more and more and more profound. There are more things to fear. There are less places you can go. There's less things you can do. There's, you know... Do you want to fly? Well, they crash. Do you want to drive? No, they crash. You know, they want to go out in the street because somebody might ride up on the boulevard and kill everybody. And it's just, there's so many. And the food, you can't eat the food. Can't drink the water. I mean, what can we do? We live in fear. It's an amazing thing. Anyway. Third thing they worshipped him for was because of why he's done it. They said, those with whom he is pleased. God is pleased with mankind. Now that has got to befuddle the angels. It says in 1 Peter 1, 12, that even angels long to look into these things. They want to know what grace is about. Yeah. why on earth, God, do you put up with these people? They look at him all the time and they see us, and there's the equation is imbalanced to them. God is a God of mathematics. Everything works out mathematically in the universe. An amazing God. Even gave us a plus sign to remind us. The cross, right? Everything works out, but the angels want to look into these things. You can imagine angels looking at us thinking, what does he see in them? All they do is mess up. Every morning they get up and say, oh, forgive me, Lord, because we've not been doing the things we're supposed to do. We're still rebelling in many ways, in our hearts. But God loves us so much that they worship him because of the why he was doing it. They recognize that if he's doing it, it must be good, because they're around him and they know his ways. Why is he doing that? Why does he love those people? God looks upon you with favor. Looks upon you with love. This is the Love Sunday. Agape love. Amazing love. And the angels have to look at that and say, I don't get it. What is it? And we keep them in mystery. That's one of the beautiful things about the gospel is there's so many mysteries still in it. Why do you do that, Lord? Why do you do that? The whys don't get answered here. You know, you ever notice that? You go to God and ask him why something's happening. Why haven't I won the lottery yet, Lord? Did you ever get an answer to that? The whys don't get answered somehow. But the angels know why God was doing this, because his favor is upon man and upon mankind. So the angels are worshiping for three specific ways, because of who he is, what he's done, and why he's done it. They know him. And they can't help but worship. And I don't know if you see the picture, but as they turn their hearts to praise, right? It says they praise, and then they said, glory to God in the highest, right? As they turn, the heavenly host, the army of God, joins. Hallelujah. Do you feel that in worship sometimes? It just seems like there's way more than 100 people in the room. That's the heavenly host joining, because they can't stay away from a good worship meeting. What is there that keeps us from worship meetings? What is there that keeps us from worshiping him because of who he is, because of what he's done, and because of why he's done it? What is there that keeps us from doing that, that is so effective? Those that know him, worship him. Those that understand God a little, worship him. Those that watch him for eternity can't stop worshiping him. And as soon as there is someone that turns their heart to worship him, they're joined by others that want to do it some more. Yeah. And yet we rebels still come late or twiddle with our phones or talk to our neighbors when we could be worshiping him. It's an amazing picture. I don't get it. My angel doesn't get it. We talk about those things. Angels are incredible beings. God gave them as a gift to us to accomplish things that we can't accomplish on our own, except through prayer, declaration. We join God in what He has already proclaimed. And as soon as we do, the angels will join us and accomplish those things.